Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Possessed of an unnatural and legendary hunger, the Reapers have come to Earth to establish a new order built on the harvesting of enslaved human souls. They rule the planet. They thrive on the scent of fear. And if it is night, as sure as darkness, they will come.
Graphic Audio presents E.E. Knight's Vampire Earth. Narrated by Ken Jackson. Performed by Tim Getman, Richard Rowan, Scott McCormick, Thomas Penning, Katie Foster, Jonathan Watkins, Dylan Lynch, Michael Glenn, Christopher Graybill, Stephen Carpenter, Terrence Aselford, Michael John Casey, David Coyne, Peter Stray, Nanette Savard, Johan Detweiler, Laura Quinn Anderson, Chris Rowan, Greg Reinfeld, Mort Shelby. Vampire Earth, Book 1, Way of the Wolf, Part 1.
Northern Louisiana, March, the 43rd year of the Kurian Order. The green expanse, once known as the Kasachi Forest, slowly digests the works of man. A forest in name only, it is a jungle of wet heat and dead air, a fetid overflowing of swamps, bayous, and backwaters. The canopy of interwoven cypress branches, shrouded in Spanish moss, creates a gloom so thick that twilight rules even at midday. In the muted light, collapsing houses subside every which way as roadside stops decay in vine-choked isolation, waiting for traffic that will not return. A long file of people is moving among moss-covered trunks. At the front and rear of the column are men and women in buckskin, their faces tanned to the same weather-beaten color as their leather garments. They carry sheathed rifles, and all are ready to use their weapons at the first hint of danger. The guns are for the defense of five clusters of families clad in ill-fitting lemon-colored overalls at the center of the file. Patches of brighter color under the arms and along the inner thighs suggest the garments once glowed a vivid optic yellow and are now faded from heavy use. A string of five pack mules follows behind them under the guidance of teenage versions of the older warriors. At the head of the column, well behind a pair of silent scouts, a young man scans the trail. He still has some of the awkward gangliness of youth, but his dark eyes hold a canny depth. His shoulder-length black hair, tightly tied at the back of his head, shines like a raven's feathers even in the half-light. With his dusky skin and buckskin garb, he could be mistaken for a native resident of this area 3 centuries before, perhaps the son of some wandering French trapper and a Choctaw maiden. His long-fingered hands wander across his heavy belt, from holstered pistol to binoculars, touching the haft of his broad-bladed parang before moving on to the canteens at his waist. A scratched and battered compass case dangles from a black nylon cord around his neck, and a stout leather map tube bumps his back from its slung position. Unlike his men, he is hatless. He turns now and again to check the positions of his soldiers and to examine the faces of his yellow-clad dependents as if gauging how much distance is left in their weary bodies. But his restless eyes do not remain off the trail for long.
If they come, they'll come tonight.
Lieutenant David Valentine returned to that thought again as the sun vanished below the horizon. He had hoped to get his charges farther north.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?